Well, it is Father's Day. I'm always intimidated because I've held that position as a father. Mother's Day, I can always preach on because mothers are great. Fathers are works in progress. We do our best that we can. We try some days and we fail. We pray, we cry, we hurt, we rejoice. Sometimes we miss the parade that's right before us for other plans. But I think the thing that intimidates me the most about being a father is because the Bible chose to use that illustration as to how we know God. Jesus started his prayer that he taught the disciples by saying, "Our Father which art in heaven." And there are very few times that I don't hear the term father or daddy or dad or papa that I don't go back and flash back to what is my job if it's not to represent the Father to my children, to my grandchildren. In fact, our text talks about that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Paul said, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Of all the jobs I have as a father, the job to provide for, to protect, there is no more primary reference given to me as to what I'm to do other than to bring up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, is what the King James says, in the training of and admonishment or admonition of the Lord. Of the Lord. If I teach my child to do great in school, if I teach my child to become successful in business, if I teach my child to be the best athlete on the planet, somewhere I've come up short if I fail to teach them about my Lord and Savior, even Jesus, who is the Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. It's not just to get on your child. It's not just to be hard. It's not to provoke your child. It's not to bring them down. It's to build them up. In fact, to lift them up all the way to heaven. So I want to talk about a few things about fatherhood this morning. First, I believe that fatherhood is man's God-given responsibility. One of the big problems we have in our world today is men refusing to step up to the position of fatherhood. Our society is falling apart as far as the family is concerned many times. When we look at divorce rates of being 50 to 52%, a couple of years back, the divorce rate fell under 50%, but it was only because people never got married in the first place, and the families continued to break apart. I see children that are pulled between families, between mothers and fathers, between grandparents. Fatherhood is not an easy job. It is the most difficult and most demanding job that you'll have on the face of this earth. But it's one that you cannot ignore because God gave you that responsibility to teach others not just about life, not just to protect, not just to direct, but to show children what it is to have a father who loves them and cares for them. The poet once said, "I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day, and as it, my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past, the bit of clay was hard at last, the form I gave it still it bore, and I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently fashioned it day by day, and molded with power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when years were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impression bore, and I could fashion it nevermore." You know, that's probably not the most perfect poem ever written, but it has an awesome message. I love seeing the little children at church. I love seeing them interact with their parents. I love seeing dads that are there. Hold it. You know, usually when I see dads, when the newborns come, they are loaded down like pack mules. Have y'all noticed that? They got like three diaper bags on this hand and mama's Bible and purse and everything on this hand. And sometimes I have a papoose carrier and carrying the baby and all that kind of stuff. That's the beginning of a God-given responsibility. Not just to carry the diaper bag, but to mold the child into a child of God. It is a responsibility if we bring a child into the world that we cannot remove ourselves from. The Bible talks about fathers and biblical fatherhood. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. We're told to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I hear a lot of people say, well, that's not always true. Well, there may be some situation, especially in the world today, that it doesn't turn out when you've done your best, but maybe your best was not the right way. You see, sometimes we're not looking at the spiritual. When your child sits down and prays and thanks God for the peas and the potatoes and the carrots and the dog and the cat and mom and dad and grandmom and granddad, the neighbor, the teacher at school, be wary of saying, that's enough now. Because if there's one problem I've noticed in the world today, it's that we don't have too much prayer among grown people. It's that we have too little. I know some of you are worried about your cold mashed potatoes, but you have microwaves. That's what that was invented for. Long prayers. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, one of the very qualifications or requirements of serving as a bishop or an elder in the Lord's church is that he be one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission. For if he does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? There's a leadership position that we have as fathers, where we're not leading from behind, but from the front and from the middle. I think that there's an absence of fathering going on in the world today. I think when we see lack of respect for teachers and lack of respect for police officers and lack of respect for the courts, lack of respect for each other and lack of respect for even their own person, a lot of that comes because they haven't been taught to respect growing up. And that involves how we treat each other as husband and wife, and that involves how we treat our children and how we bring them up. If a man desires to be an elder, look at how well he did with his family and what kind of things are important to his children. The Bible doesn't intermittently talk about fatherhood. Every time it talks about God, it talks about biblical fatherhood. And I believe the Bible teaches us that there's some things that are essential for fathers to do. You know, I have a picture that I took with one of my grandchildren trying to take her fishing. And she didn't do very well. In fact, I knew I was in trouble when I gave her worm and she held it up kind of like this. And then she gave it to me and said I could put it on the hook. And then she said if she caught a fish, I could take the fish off the hook. She learned to be a fish pole holder. That's what she learned. What are we trying to teach our children? What are the values? What are the essentials? If I go to heaven one day and I hope to do that, I pray that the Word of God, being true, that if I'll serve Him faithfully, it's a promise He's made to me. But I'm going to have to answer not only for my life, but for my fathering as well. I believe if you take a good enough look at the Bible, for your children's children as well as your own children, you don't stop being an influence for good or for God ever in your life when it comes to the succeeding generations. We need to learn some essentials for fathers. And the first one I think we have to understand is communication. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, while not talking directly about a parenting relationship, certainly applies to a parenting relationship. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I want you to look at that. Only what is good, what is grace, what is necessary for the hearers. How many times have you let something slip out that you wanted to take back as soon as it passed your lips? How many times have you wanted to reframe what you said? How many times in anger did you say something and later have to come back and say, I didn't really mean that, I was angry? How many times have we crushed a spirit rather than build a spirit and grow a spirit? Let no corrupt communication or word proceed out of your mouth. How many times did we say an ugly word, tell an ugly story, tell a lie in front of our children? Nothing that's corrupt should come out of my mouth, especially in front of my children, because I'm teaching them spiritual discipline. And dear God, help me to always be the kind of a parent, the kind of a father that speaks with blessings and grace to my children, that builds them up. Satan and the world are already trying to tear them down. I need to show them my Father through the way that I love them. I need to let them know about a God who's not willing that any should perish because He's always on our side, always willing to save and never willing to condemn. Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians 14 and 19, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding than to may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue or an unknown language. Again, out of context, it's talking about the speaking of spiritual tongues in the New Testament church. But sometimes as parents, we speak unknown languages to our children. For instance, I saw somebody talking to their child the other day, and they were just furious about some childhood wrong. And the parent said, "What were you thinking? Tell me, what were you thinking?" Finally, I had to intervene and say, "They're 2 years old. They weren't thinking anything. Why don't you act your age?" They are acting their age. What I want you to do is build them up. Take them away from the light socket. Take them away from the knife. Take them to put something else. You be a parent that is blessing instead of harming. You be a parent that is giving words of encouragement. You give a parent, be a parent, a father that can speak words that they can understand. And you know some of the easiest words I've ever found for a child to understand, but it has to be followed up by action? I love you. Let's say our prayers. Jesus loves me. They're not deeply constructed sentences of grammatic proportion. They're the truths that I want my children to know. They're the precepts that I want them to know. I don't care if they know about nuclear physics or not at 3 years old, because I don't know about that at 64 years old. I know how to spell, well, maybe I know how to spell it. Maybe not. What are our biblical examples is that we have to communicate. And one of the things that we have to communicate is love. And love is not just what I say, but what I do. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that love suffers long. Fathers, how are you doing at suffering long? How many come in with a short fuse that's already lit? And how many people come in ready to bear their children's broken hearts, their excitement of accomplishments? Love suffers long and is kind and does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in all truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail, and where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But love remains. Love is when you remember a birthday. I know some families that remember half birthdays because it's too long to wait a whole year to say you're special. Love remembers what it was like to have a broken heart. I know what it's like to be a father when your daughter comes in and says, "My boyfriend broke up with me," and you're thinking, "Praise God, hallelujah." And I know what it's like when her heart is broken, and that's not what she needs to hear from me. She needs to hear, "I love you and we'll make it through this. I love you and God loves you." Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's what my children need to learn from me as a father. Not just because I've been to school and studied this or that, but because I love and God created me that way. And He said, "Here, this is your job. This is your position. This child needs to learn love and he needs to learn it from you." And that's true really in a sense for all Christians. Fathers, listen to me well. It's important that your children learn spiritual leadership and guidance from you. I don't care what else you teach. You may teach them to be great mathematicians. You may teach them to be the best baseball player there ever was. You may instruct them on a tuba or in physics or medicine. But they need to know about God and how to lead people, lead their families in the spiritual way. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, in our text, we read, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." That's my job as a father. That's what your job is as a father, to raise them. Colossians 3 and verse 21 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Not discouraged in life, but discouraged in spiritual eternity. Be careful how you interact with your children. Don't be aloof and afar. Be close enough that they could understand that God is just a prayer away and that He holds out His arms to express His love towards us. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua speaks to the nation of Israel. He basically starts in verse 23 and verse 22 and he says, "If you want to serve the gods of the Amorites, you got to make a choice." You see, spiritual leadership is evil. But if you want to serve the Lord, you've got to serve Him. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What I want you to understand is Joshua said, I've made a decision for me and my house. We're not going to serve gods of other lands. We're not going to serve the Amorites' gods. We're not going to serve the Egyptian gods. We're not going to serve all these other gods. As for me and my house, I'm going to train, I'm going to instruct, I'm going to lead to serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's a responsibility that begins with fathers and spiritual leadership positions. As for me and my house, Joshua said, it starts with me. Then look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8, he said, for you remember, brethren, not only our labor and toil, our laboring night and day, that we might not be to you a burden to any of you, that we preach to you the gospel of God. You are our witness in God how devotedly and justly and blameless we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, we exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Spiritual leadership should be the same as parental fatherly leadership. And our world will begin to change when our fathers begin stepping up for the spiritual impact that they have on their families. Look with me over in Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Just a verse to consider. Again, not specifically in the context of fatherhood, but one certainly that applies there. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must forgive. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called into one body, and be thankful. I'm telling you, when I look at the biblical responsibility placed on fatherhood, next to serving my Lord myself, it seems to be one of the greatest responsibilities that God has placed on me. It seems to me that God says you are responsible for not only the spiritual, not only the physical, not only the moral development of your children, that you will face God one day in judgment for how well we've done. But there's one final point that I have to make. You see, God is our Father. And in a sense, since this is the Lord's Day, it's also Father's Day every week when it comes to that Father. In fact, I might say it's every day is His. Where we should love Him and praise Him and honor Him in all that we do. But if you want to feel the love of God, you have to be in the family of God. You have to allow Him to be your Father. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, Paul says, there is one God, the Father of whom all things. There is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or do all in the name of the Lord, and giving thanks to God, the Father through Him. God is our Father. And if you don't know Him as your Father, you need to. You see, you're born into the family of God just like you're born into your physical family. And you have to be born for Him. Revelation 1 and 10, when it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Again, I say it's Father's Day. Except I make one change. It's the Father's Day. Not just a Father's Day, just not some Father's Day. To all of us who are in Rome, Paul said, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father. What is your relationship with God? Do you think of Him as your Father? As one who loves you and cares for you and is merciful to you? One who wants to bless you and not burden you? One who wants to save you and not lose you? One who wants you in heaven and not hell? You see, I talked about being born again. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's the beginning of the pathway to lead you to eternal life. And if truly your faith is built on the Word of God, it'll make you change. And We call that repentance. And except a man repent, he would perish. He will all likewise perish. Luke 3 and verse 3. But not only that, we need to confess him, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then the next step is to be born again of the water of the Spirit, to be raised to walk in new life, and to be faithful to him that heaven can be your home. God will wash away your sins and you can start over as a newborn babe in Christ today. If you fall away, you can always come back home. I believe with a sincere heart that the only reason he hasn't come back yet is because he's giving you a chance to come to him. I believe that's the reason judgment hasn't come, because he loves you so. You see, he's our Father. And for those of us who are fathers, who may be fathers, please accept your responsibility with all the godly reverence it deserves. For those of you who need to respond this morning, either to be baptized or to have prayers of the church, if we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?